Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Because of God's grace, Christians have a great deal of liberty. However, if we stubbornly insist on our right to do what a weaker believer regards as sinful, our so-called good will be seen as being evil. What does this kind of behavior or attitude say about our hearts? What is right becomes wrong if it destroys someone else. Please open your Bible to Romans chapter 14 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his discussion of verses 14 through 23.
Verse 14 of Romans 14, where Paul says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, the obvious context of the verse before us is a reference to eating of meats. Paul knew that there was nothing intrinsically unclean about meat that was not kosher or sacrificed to an idol. Yet, that thing, taking a liberty on that issue, could be devastating to someone who had the conviction that it was unclean. The principle that Paul speaks about applies to every, whatever, gray area within the church. Now, this was dated a while ago, some of the issues that were hot topics, and some of them are still topics that Christians are divided on. Should parents homeschool? Is it okay for parents to send their children to a public school? A Catholic school? All of those kinds of things. What about worship? Should we only be singing? Some people say we should only be singing hymns. What about contemporary Christian music? Is it wrong to have electric guitars and electric bass in a worship band? Can a Christian have a tattoo? Can a woman wear slacks or are only long dresses allowed? Do they have to wear a covering? Well, okay, let's make it simple. If your conscience, if it's not specifically forbidden in Scripture, if your conscience tells you that something is wrong, then it is wrong for who? You. But what might be wrong for you might not necessarily be wrong for someone else. And that sounds like, oh, okay, I'm okay with that. Yeah, until you have to have a dialogue with the person. Or go to church with a person. You know, I have observed over the years that when a person is seeking to defend some liberty, they will quote this verse that Jesus said, it is not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of him. But what amazes me is that what eventually comes out of that person's mouth defending their liberty only proves that they do not understand the spirit of Romans 14. Because what comes out is not very, very holy or godly. You know, I don't know how many years ago I taught this at church, but I had made the comment to our congregation that I didn't want, and I wish this was 100% true, but I guess you can't avoid it. There's got to be some in every church. I don't want our church family to be a congregation of sin sniffers. You know that there are certain people that are sin sniffers? They're like you know, like they're like those dogs at the airport that are sniffing for, you know, drugs or something like that. Did you see the kind of music that they listen to in their car? Are you kidding me? Yeah. You know, I told them that my desire is that we would be uncompromisingly holy on doctrinal and moral absolutes, but we have to avoid falling prey to the enemy's trap of biting and devouring one another. And I even posed the question at the time, because there were people that were really having a hard time with Christians not only watching television but having internet. And I said, why? I said, could the reason be because you're assuming that they would watch, that they're watching what you would watch if you had the internet? And people watch. They simply watch. You go to a multi, when theaters were open, you go to a theater where there's eight movies, and maybe The Lion King or something like that is there, but somebody sees a pastor or a leader or a brother going, and they assume that they're going in to watch the XXX. It's amazing how we project our sins on other people. You know, is the Christian who has internet more harmful to the body of Christ than the one who is a busy body and sows discord? I don't think so at all. Now, how many of you have ever read or like to read or get blessed by Charles Spurgeon? Wonderful, right? It's wonderful. I want to tell you a little bit about him. I'm sure that if Spurgeon were alive today, he would have some people requesting to have an appointment with him. Here's some of the reasons why. You know, when he preached, there were times when he would stop them. You know, we get the edited versions of his, you know, his messages, but there were times when he preached when he would stop and inject humor. Can you imagine that? And he was called into question because of that. If that was not enough to send him to hell in a handbasket, ready for this? Spurgeon smoked cigars and drank brandy. So I think you should go home and burn morning and evening in every devotional. Now, those were in his, he obviously wasn't smoking a cigar and drinking brandy when he was at the pulpit, but, and he liked food. You ever seen a painting of Spurgeon? Yeah. Now, I'm not advocating that we start at Koinonia when things open up. I'm not advocating that we start offering brandy in between our services in a cigar stand. But we have to guard against being judgmental to others in the flock. We just have to simply guard against being judgmental. And so Paul says, now, getting back to this issue of when you flaunt your liberty, in verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. Paul gives us an important rule here. You have your freedom, but don't exercise it in front of a weak brother, for that would be the most unloving thing to do. And Paul is saying that the work of Christ can be, to some degree, negated in an immature believer when you flaunt your freedom before him. So, your life and my life can either be a stepping stone that leads others to Christ or builds them up in Christ, or you can be a stumbling stone that can turn people off to Christ and draw people away from Christ. David Gruzig wrote these words, quote, if Jesus was willing to give up his life for the sake of that brother, I can certainly give up my steak dinner. So, verse 15. Let's go back here for a minute. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. You're not walking charitably if you know that someone is offended by something that you are doing that is flaunting, not flaunting your liberty. Now, there's always people that are going to be critics. Always people that are going to criticize. You know, if I ever wear a tie at church or something like that, if somebody says, I didn't like your tie, well, I'm sorry you didn't like my tie. You know, or you wore sneakers today. Or whatever. You know, there's all kinds of people that are just, you know, like the dogs at the airport. They're the critical ones. When Paul says about being grieved, the word here is, it refers to something that causes pain or distress. And again, I know that we're saying this over and over again, but I think it is really very important that the Holy Spirit is telling all of us that there are certain things that we may be able to do with no conviction whatsoever that could be a cause of great grief and pain to a fellow Christian. Now, we're getting to the time of the year when the temperature is going to rise a little bit and it's going to be so nice, like yesterday, remember it was so nice, and then I'm going to no doubt have to give my seasonal Pastor Ray mention. All right, men, ladies, brothers, sisters, when we gather here, you're coming to church, not the beach. So again, and unfortunately, we have to, we just have to talk to people. And because that can be an issue. Now, without being a legalist, it can be an issue. And it's very uncomfortable when you have to step in and talk to someone about that. I want to get into that. It's very uncomfortable when you have to talk to a brother, or especially if it's a sister. Now, fortunately, when you're a 72-year-old guy that has been married for 44 years and everything, they don't see you much as being a threat, but you can go up to maybe a young girl that just came to Christ and she's say, hey, can I have a conversation with you? Yes. I don't know how to tell you this, but more people were looking at you than looking at the Lord today. You know? Oh, really? That's right. Well, I'm sorry. Well, listen, there's no condemnation, but just be aware of that. How we dress can distract people. Isn't that a good word? Mm-hmm. From worshiping God. And we shouldn't be doing anything that is going to cause anybody to be distracted or grieved. Now, Paul says, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. And so there, in other words, when we are not walking in love, when we're not taking one another into consideration, that is very, very destructive. Paul says, you don't come to church, you're not part of the body of Christ to be destructive, but to build one another up. You know, when we insist on indulging in any liberty that knowingly offends or weakens another saint's, we are sending the wrong message. So then Paul says in verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. In context, your good would refer to the knowledge of being freed from the Jewish restrictions or Gentile taboos regarding the eating of meats now that they were saved and set free by the sacrifice of Christ. However, Paul would say to these stronger saints, displaying your good or your liberty in such a manner could be something that would grieve another saint, and when evil spoken of, it would actually dishonor Christ. So you can be flaunting your liberty, exercising your conviction, but you can be dishonoring Christ. And this is a very, very difficult thing to regulate. If we stubbornly insist on our right to do what someone else that is weaker in that area regards as sinful, our good will be evil spoken of. And when that happens, what kind of attitude does that reflect that is in my heart? Basically, I don't care. And then Paul says in verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." In other words, this is what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about walking in righteousness. It's about walking in peace. It's about walking in the joy of the Lord. And when we are judging one another, criticizing one another, flaunting our liberties before one another, then we're not walking in righteousness. We are not cultivating peace. And it saps the joy right out of you. When you come together to worship, to learn the things of the Lord, and you're just consumed with these other side issues. Christians who are hung up about eating and drinking are roaming in spiritual wilderness. The real kingdom isn't about this secondary issue or that secondary issue. It's about walking in righteousness. It's about being a peacemaker. It's about doing things that will cultivate the presence of Christ. Christians coming together. We are to gather together in the name of the Lord and for the joy of the Lord. And Paul says in verse 18, "For he that in these things," what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. "He that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." In other words, it is only when we walk in the Spirit on these types of issues that our conduct is acceptable to God and a blessing to others in the body. Where the Holy Spirit is bringing about righteousness or right standing with one another and peace, which is the absence of conflict between one another, and joy, which is the thrill of pleasing God within our church family, the kingdom of God exists. The presence of God is there. When everybody is laying down their rights and picking up their cross and coming together, really loving the Lord and really loving one another, there is this incredible presence of God when we are gathered together. And Paul says in verse 19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." And so the Spirit of God's counsel to us on practical ways of dealing with these issues is what? Follow after the things that make for peace and things that edify one another. And one of the things that make for peace is, in one way, simply don't make it a topic of conversation. Just avoid it. Don't get your own little liberty posse. You know, you have to make certain rules. You know, for almost a whole year, my wife and I had this rule that when we had people over to our house, and I wish that it never took place, but it was pretty good for about a year. We are not going to talk about COVID-19. We're not going to talk about masks. We're not going to talk about the election. We're not going to talk about BLM. And we're not going to talk about vaccination. And be surprised how many people wouldn't come over because what are we going to talk about? Well, if that's all you can talk about, then you or I need to you need to go see a doctor. There's far more better things that are edifying. Not that those are not important issues, because they are. And you have to talk about them, and you have to understand them. But whenever that happens, sometimes things get very, very, very toxic, and they get very, very, very heated, and it never turns out well. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 14, "Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." The Bible tells us, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Now, being a peacemaker doesn't mean that you avoid trouble. It means that you engage in the trouble, with the result being, that Christ is glorified. Notice Paul says in verse 19, "Let us follow the things that make for peace and the things that edify." In other words, focus on things that bring us together rather than things that divide. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Again, never interpret Christian liberty or Christian freedom as license for indulgence. Do not, for the sake of your own indulgence, deliberately damage or injure the walk of your brother or sister in Christ. No, notice he says destroy. How many times have we read the word destroy? Destroying one another. It's unloving for me to do something that I know is going to destroy you. That's unloving. Very unloving. When the Spirit of God's love is working in our lives, I believe that He will convict us of selfishness. He will convict us of pride. And having been convicted by the Holy Spirit, instead of knowingly grieving or destroying a brother or sister in Christ, we will joyfully choose to honor God and die to self. Jesus had said to him, "For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross." In verse 20, Paul goes on to say, "All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense." All kinds of meats, kosher and non-kosher, offered to idols or not, are in themselves innocent or pure. But if your partaking of them disturbs you or your brother, don't do it. Don't do it. Now, we have people in our church that are vegetarians. Praise God. And we have people in our church that are not vegetarians. And we have people in our church who eat meat that claim, "Well, I only eat animals that eat vegetables. So I get my vegetables some way." But you can go so far overboard. There's this craze that you can be promoting food and what you eat and everything. And they have to be very, very careful. They make diet a doctrine. You know, and I think I probably told you this, but there's a dear sister in the Lord that before the pandemic caught me in the Agape Hall. I must have, in between one of the services, been eating a donut or something. And she pulled me aside and just lovingly telling me about what I eat, especially my age, Pastor Ray. And telling me about how it's important to not, you should have like non-fat sour cream and non-fat this and non-fat that. And I'm going, oh.
Gross.
Yeah. So then, after about, you know, and she giving me statistics that, you know, it shows, some statistics prove that generally speaking, by adhering to this diet, you will live like, I don't know how much longer. It wasn't that much. And so, needing to get up to the next service, I said to her, "You know, I really appreciate you looking out for me. But let me tell you something. You do realize that I'm going to live forever, right?" And so, with all due respect, I'm going to dip my chips in sour cream that is loaded. I just won't do it in front of you. And she got it. But people can get so far overboard with all of these things. And we just have to be very, very careful. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His
holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone? or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.